Hello, and thank you for listening to Mapping the Zone, a podcast dedicated to informal discussion of the works and context of Thomas Pynchon. That is normally the case. However, this week and next week, we're going to be releasing just a couple of bits of bonus material. This is primarily so that you guys still have something to listen to. We've run into some other scheduling issues. Seems as though Bleeding Edge, at least for this middle portion, is kind of cursed, but it also probably just has to do with the fact that a lot of people take vacations in summertime. It just is kind of a thing that happens. But while we get our schedule sort of back on track to finish the book, we still wanted to have some content for you. So similar to what we did with, you know, the other Pynchon essays when we were going through Mason and Dixon, we figured that we would pull some other maybe relevant material or ephemera from the wider world for you guys to listen to with this episode and next week episode as it relates to sort of the content of Bleeding Edge. In one of our very first episodes of this season, we talked about John Perry Barlow's A Declaration of Independence of Cyberspace. This is something that was written on February 8th of 1996, or at least was published on February 8th of 1996 from Davos, Switzerland. And we talked extensively about sort of what documents like this and a few other ones that Will in particular mentioned, how they relate to kind of the alternate history of sort of what the internet could have been or what the online space could have been if those sort of negative powers, if those capital T they powers hadn't prevailed. And so sort of as a supplement to that conversation, I had brought up this Declaration of Independence of Cyberspace. We're just going to provide a reading of it for you here in case you can't find it or in case you just do better with something being sort of read out in audio, just like we've done in the past. So it begins, A Declaration of Independence of Cyberspace by John Perry Barlow. Governments of the industrial world, you weary giants of flesh and steel, I come from cyberspace, the new home of mind. On behalf of the future, I ask you of the past to leave us alone. You are not welcome among us. You have no sovereignty where we gather. We have no elected government, nor are we likely to have one. So I address you with no greater authority than that with which liberty itself always speaks. I declare the global social space we are building to be naturally independent of the tyrannies you seek to impose on us. You have no moral right to rule us, nor do you possess any methods of enforcement we have reason to fear. Governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. You have neither solicited nor received ours. We did not invite you. You do not know us, nor do you know our world. Cyberspace does not lie within your borders. Do not think that you can build it as though it were a public construction project. You cannot. It is an act of nature, and it grows itself through our collective action. You have not engaged in our great and gathering conversation, nor did you create the wealth of our marketplace. You do not know our culture, our ethics, or the unwritten codes that already provide our society more order than could be obtained by any of your imposition. You claim there are problems among us that you need to solve. You use this claim as an excuse to invade our precincts. Many of these problems don't exist. Where there are real conflicts, where there are wrongs, we will identify them and address them by our means. We are forming our own social contract. This governance will arise according to the conditions of our world, not yours. Our world is different. Cyberspace consists of transactions, relationships, and thought itself, arrayed like a standing wave in the web of our communication. Ours is a world that is both everywhere and nowhere, but it is not where bodies live. We are creating a world that all may enter without privilege or prejudice, accorded by race, economic power, military force, or station of birth. We are creating a world where anyone, anywhere, may express his or her beliefs, no matter how singular, without fear of being coerced into silence or conformity. Your legal concepts of property, expression, identity, movement, and context do not apply to us. They are all based on matter, and there is no matter here. Our identities have no bodies, so unlike you, we cannot obtain order by physical coercion. We believe that from ethics, enlightened self-interest, and the commonwealth, our governments will emerge. Our identities may be distributed across many of your jurisdictions. The only law that all our constituent cultures will generally recognize is the golden rule. We hope we will be able to build our particular solutions on that basis, but we cannot accept the solutions you are attempting to impose. In the United States, you have today created a law, the Telecommunications Reform Act, which repudiates your own constitution and insults the dreams of Jefferson, Washington, Mill, Madison, de Tocqueville, and Brandeis. These dreams must now be born anew in us. You are terrified of your own children, since they are natives in a world where you will always be immigrant. Because you fear them, you entrust your bureaucracies with the parental responsibilities you are too cowardly to confront yourself. In our world, all the sentiments and expressions of humanity, from the debasing to the angelic, are parts of a seamless whole. The global conversation of bits. We cannot separate the air that chokes from the air upon which wings beat. In China, Germany, France, Russia, Singapore, Italy, and the United States, you are trying to ward off the virus of liberty by erecting guard posts at the frontiers of cyberspace. These may keep out the contagion for a small time, but they will not work in a world that will soon be blanketed in bit-bearing media. You increasingly obsolete information industries would perpetuate themselves by proposing laws in America and elsewhere that claim to own speech itself throughout the world. These laws would declare ideas to be another industrial product, no more noble than pig iron. In our world, whatever the human mind may create can be reproduced and distributed infinitely at no cost. The global conveyance of thought no longer requires your factories to accomplish. These increasingly hostile and colonial measures place us in the same position as those previous lovers of freedom and self-determination who had to reject the authorities of distant, uninformed powers. We must declare our virtual selves immune to your sovereignty, even as we continue to consent to your rule over our bodies. We spread ourselves across the planet so that no one can arrest our thoughts. We will create a civilization of the mind in cyberspace. May it be more humane and fair than the world your governments have made before. It's not hard to see how a document like that, published well before the publication of Bleeding Edge, influenced Thomas Pynchon. In many ways, it is an extension of a lot of the things that we have covered on the show in regards to land development, land usage, how things are moving into a new paradigm where it's no longer literally the land that you walk across, but rather the land of the internet and how things have moved there in a grand sort of colonization. It's a important piece of context, not just for the book that we've been reading, but also for an understanding of what the internet could have been. And hopefully listening to this short recording of it has helped you better appreciate Bleeding Edge and the internet that you access every single day and the potentialities there within. Thank you, as always, for listening. My name is Kate. I'm one of the co-hosts of Mapping the Zone, a podcast on the works and context of Thomas Pynchon. Hopefully we should be back to normal in a couple of weeks with the next discussions on the actual chapters of the book. But until then, we can be reached at mappingthezonepod@gmail.com or on Twitter at PynchonPod or on Instagram at mappingthezonepod. Thank you as always for listening. Hopefully we'll see you next week for the next episode.